This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
It's 4:06 on your Afternoon Drive. It's been a busy day. If you missed our earlier interview with Mark Standriff, also the Deputy Mayor Matthew Grundy, you'll be able to find those in the podcast available at KMJNow.com after the show. I'm Skip. Philip out for today. Blake Taylor joining me in the studio to help out. We had this story, it broke yesterday, about a shooting, we'll find out if we're going to be able to call it that here in a moment, that happened in Kingsburg.
Yeah, it's not something you hear about in Kingsburg happening very often.
Right, and the circumstances of it at a park that involved a 15-year-old victim. And joining us on the phone, we are lucky enough to get the Kingsburg Chief of Police, Neil Dadian, joining us on the phone. Welcome to KMJ.
Hey, Chief.
Thank you for having me.
So we got this press release yesterday about a story of somebody being shot in the park, but the circumstances are very different than what we might expect in any other scenario. Can you give us some of the details of what happened yesterday?
Yeah, so this actually happened Tuesday evening just before 7 o'clock. A young lady, 15 years old, was out with her younger brother and another young child, family friend. They were playing in one of our city parks, Athwal Park, playing on the soccer field, you know, kicking the ball around, having some fun, and heard some loud bangs, pops, noises, fireworks, weren't exactly sure. And then seconds later, the girl is struck with a projectile. We later determined that to be a bullet. And she goes down. Does have the presence of mind to call her dad, who is just a few minutes away. He responds, sees that she's bleeding, and he calls the Kingsburg Fire paramedics. They respond. They treat her and transport her immediately to CRMC. And then the Kingsburg police, we arrived and start working the investigation.
Chief, can you update us on the 15-year-old female victim's condition today?
My last information was she was stable, in good spirits, and, you know, awake, doing okay, as well as you could be expected. She did have a collapsed lung because the projectile did strike her lung that caused a collapse. I wasn't aware of any surgery that could have changed in the last several hours. I've been updated for several hours or for at least the afternoon, but last I was aware, they were going to, you know, hold off on any surgery until they could, you know, get her in a more stable condition and then, you know, maybe take a look at that later.
And my understanding was the bullet is still lodged in her chest, correct?
Yes.
It's miraculous that she was still conscious and that we have a woman who's still alive at this point, considering how terribly this could have gone. My question for you is, it appears that this sounds like somebody firing up into the air, which has always been the thing that scares me when we hear gunshots around, you know, times of celebration. You guys are doing investigations to try and see where this came from. What kind of charges can somebody face if they recklessly shoot a gun into the air and it ends up in a situation where it strikes this young woman or potentially even, you know, more fatal consequences? What does that look like for the person who did it?
Well, that could be at least assault with a deadly weapon. If somebody is killed, it could be it could be a homicide. Mm-hmm. You know, there's degrees, and that would be up to the district attorney. But you know, it could be manslaughter to homicide. So, I mean, not a good consequence any way you look at it from somebody if there was just, you know, some celebratory or, oh, gee, you know, look at me shooting my gun in the air type of thing. I mean, that's ridiculous. It's absolutely stupid to do something like that. And the unintended consequences could be fatal for someone else.
So you're pretty sure, Chief, that this was not a drive-by shooting type of situation. Where does the investigation lead us to at this hour? Do we have any suspects or people of interest involved pinpointed at this point?
Okay, so, Blake, we haven't ruled that out. But it doesn't look like that. Our best operating theory at this point is it was shots in the air. Nothing else leads us to believe this was a targeted incident. In other words, somebody didn't seek her out or sprayed bullets in that general direction.
Okay.
So that while that could be, we just haven't, nothing is pointing to that at this moment, but I'm not ruling it out.
Got it.
With
our best information at this point is that it was probably shots fired in the air that just dropped in on her and she was in the wrong space at the wrong time.
We have Independence Day coming up, which is another one of those times when people want to set off things that make loud booms. And my guess is this is a reminder to not participate in this kind of activity. If folks are concerned that that might be happening, what is the best way to report that people are being reckless with their firearms in that way?
Call your local police immediately. You know, that, again, it could have serious and fatal consequences for someone else. That's not the way to celebrate. That's not responsible gun ownership. That's not, that's not the way to get your jollies by shooting in the air just so you can hear some loud bang. That's not going to work for anybody. And it, again, it could be fatal for someone else. That bullet has to come down. It has to land somewhere. And, you know, I remember an incident in Fresno, and I can't remember how long ago it was, at least a dozen years or maybe more, New Year's Eve. Bullet drops through a guy's roof, hits him in the head, and he's dead. That's, you know, that's horrible.
Yep.
And nobody wants that.
Exactly. We're talking with Kingsburg Chief of Police Neil Dadian. Back to the, you didn't get to answer the question fully as I intended it. My apologies for that. But can you update us on the status of the investigation and the search for suspect or suspects in your department?
Yeah, so we're looking at all possibilities. We're basically canvassing the area. We have a very wide canvas where, you know, it's a lot of really just old-fashioned detective work, knocking on doors and talking to people. So we're interviewing a number of people. Were walking a large perimeter because, you know, that could have come from, if it was a shot in the air, it could have come from hundreds and hundreds of yards, maybe 1,000 yards away, you know, judging by the type of caliber that we saw on the X-ray, that could have come from quite a distance. So we have a ways to go to see if anybody knows of anything and if anybody heard anything.
That was my next question, was concerning if the bullet is still lodged in her chest, the 15-year-old victim here. I was curious about ballistics, being able to identify the bullet. But you say through X-rays you're able to get the caliber. What can you tell us about the caliber?
We can't get the exact caliber, but we have an approximate caliber. It's anywhere from, say, a general 30 caliber round to maybe 8 millimeter, somewhere in that neighborhood. But again, we can't get the exact caliber. We do have some dimensions on it, but it's not exact.
What is the feeling of the community around? I mean, are folks nervous about going back out there and using that community park? Are they seeing this as a one-time, one-off type of situation? What's the vibe you're getting from people?
Well, I hope folks are calming down. And I don't want to be so dismissive that it was just, you know, a one-time deal and wouldn't happen again. I mean, it was pretty, think about it, you know, the odds of being in the wrong place at the wrong
right.
time are pretty slim, but, you know, she was. So, but again, I do want to assure the community, it doesn't look like she was targeted. It doesn't look like this was just some, you know, gangsters out spraying bullets or something, you know, malicious like that. While it was a criminal act, it didn't look like it was intentionally malicious towards this young lady. So it just looks like it was probably, again, not ruling anything out, but leaning towards just a gross act of stupidity.
Chief, have you spoken to the girl's family? What's their reaction been?
They're concerned about her. I have not personally. My detectives and my police chaplain have been with the family on a pretty regular basis. They're obviously concerned about their daughter, and that's their focus right now.
Chief, if anybody has any information, what's the best way to get in touch with those investigating the case?
Call the Kingsburg Police Department, 897-4418. We want any and all information. You can also call Crime Stoppers. They're a great partner for us. If anybody has any information at all. And I mean, if you heard gunshots that evening, we want to hear from you because we want to know how many gunshots. Somebody might have heard X number and somebody else may have heard a different number. So we want to hear that from you, because every little bit is a puzzle piece, and all the puzzle pieces come together to give us a clear picture.
Chief, thank you so much for your time. That is Chief Dadian of the Kingsburg Police Department. We appreciate you joining us today. And if you want more information, we do have the press release that is posted up online at kmjnow.com.
Chief, appreciate the time. Thank you so much. Good luck in the search for the suspect or suspects. Also, you can go to valleycrimestoppers.org, valleycrimestoppers.org, if you know anything about that shooting in Kingsburg.
On the way, we're going to be discussing the latest hack, this time of EA Sports, and what that means on the way on the Afternoon Drive.
It's a new era in news talk, only on News Talk 580-1059, KMJ.
And if once in a while is not enough, the podcast is available at drivekmj.com, kmjnow.com. You can actually get it for not just this show, but also Broski Mousson, Ray Appleton, The Weekend Lineup, which has a new show starting this weekend.
Yeah, the Christopher Gabriel Show. Program starts this Saturday, 10 a.m. until 11, then followed by Joe and Lisa Basil, Mark Capitan at noon, and then the Restaurateurs at 1 o'clock. We'll be recording that show tomorrow, so looking forward to that. But back to that that sweep coming back from the show.
Oh, yeah.
Love the show. Listening every once in a while.
That's Floyd.
That was the funniest damn thing. I was sitting on my couch streaming the show that day when that guy called in.
Uh-huh.
I immediately texted both of you and said, cue it up. That was hilarious. I rolled off my couch laughing.
I do love the folks that listen and the ones that call.
Do you really?
Most of them. I understand their inherent worth. Even Kenny, who called up and didn't even get on the air earlier today, but wanted to call me out because I think at one point I had pledged never to say the Q word, but it slipped because we were talking
Quisenberry?
About something like that. But it slipped because we were talking to Mark Standriff about the graffiti cleanup. So anyway, we do love the calls, and it's even better when we get some audio from it. So coming up in a few minutes, we're going to have somebody who's going to kind of break down this latest hack in regards to EA Sports.
Yeah, if you haven't heard, this broke about 3 hours ago, right before the show started. This was breaking news. Hackers have gotten in and gained access and info a lot to EA Sports. If you're the older generation and you don't know what the hell we're talking about, EA is basically the biggest gaming outfit in the world, right?
Yeah, and especially when you get into the sports video games. Just think Madden and FIFA. So we're gonna talk about that coming up in a few minutes. But we've been following along over the last couple of weeks about ransomware attacks and ransoms being paid. We had the Colonial Pipeline, where we found out they paid a multi-million-dollar ransom, and where it led to people frantically hoarding gasoline in some cases, plastic bags
in the back of their pickup trucks.
Goodness,
that was so hilarious.
And their minivans. Women were just as guilty. But the story that has been coming out more recently is JBS. JBS is a gigantic meat supplier, and they got a cyber attack. I mean, the feds were in on trying to figure this out. And it's been discovered, or uncovered rather, and you can find this at kmjnow.com, that they paid an $11 million ransom in response to that attack that shut down its entire beef processing operation last week.
And this is a beef processing operation that runs from South America through North America, correct? This is one of the biggest in the world.
The cyber attack affected servers that were supporting the IT systems in North America and Australia. It was another one of these that was tied back to Revel. They are a criminal gang that's based in either Russia or Eastern Europe. And they paid out $11 million.
Not hard American currency, though. They paid 11 million Bitcoin, right?
This is so terrible because I can't keep track of all the ransomware stuff. Is this the one that they got the money back? But the point being,
right,
people are paying stuff out. And it's trickling down everywhere. I mean, our own emails are like, double check your links. Don't click on anything. There was a huge media company that was shut down that's still shut down. Yeah. It's an ongoing issue.
Cox Media, which runs television and radio mostly on the East Coast, a dozen or more of their radio stations and TV stations were locked up for several days, just gone dark because their operation systems were held for ransom by hackers. And I'm not sure what the latest statistic is on that development there, but it's scary. Cumulus Corporate is just in a tizzy right now with our online security folks. I mean, they are working 24/7 trying to keep us on the air and operational and behind the scenes. And if you run a company, I'm sure you're aware, but you might want to take more of a deep dive and really start to cross your T's and dot your I's when it comes to this stuff, because, man, they're shutting down. They're shutting down not only cities like Baltimore, hospitals in major cities, major markets. They're shutting down, here locally. One of our departments in the city of Fresno got hit and was taken offline for a while. Mark Standriff, who previously, before taking over as the boss of Beautify Fresno, was giving us some scoop on how many... You wouldn't believe how many cyber attacks the city of Fresno has blocked and blocks on a daily, hourly basis. It's unbelievable.
Well, and I think that's the interesting piece of it is you don't hear about it until something fails. And that doesn't mean that it's not happening. So this is something that, you know, Philip has been able to provide a whole bunch of information on from the IT guy perspective that I appreciate. And honestly, you probably pay good money for that in any other situation, but he's provided that information. But it's just another reiteration, if you will, to pay attention to it. And if you don't know how to do it right, get somebody who does. So we'll talk about EA Sports, though, because you would think that a company that has made all of its money doing tech and specifically doing it through the use of the internet to facilitate online gaming would have been able to get away with not having this issue happen.
Can you imagine if Netflix got hacked or Amazon or any of these other things that during the pandemic we've come to rely on as a as an entertainment source?
Oh my gosh.
EA Sports not having Madden 21 come out or FIFA 21 or The Sims or any of the other games that this company provides. I mean, a lot of kids are going to be, really adults now because we all grew up on Madden, but a lot of people are going to be flipping out when it comes to Christmas time and Madden 21 isn't available.
That is true. Just please, if random hackers from East Europe that may be listening via the internet at kmjnow.com, leave Disney Plus alone. I have Loki to get to. We have news on the way right now.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
It is 4:34 on your afternoon drive. Skip here. Philip out on vacation today, so Blake Taylor joining me in the studio. And as we mentioned, going into news, there was a story that broke right before we got on the air. Another hacker story, another business being targeted, but this time that business is EA Sports. And hackers have stolen a wealth of data from the game giant, including but not limited to source code and code for a matchmaking server. And Blake, you and I behind the scenes were like, we don't know what any of this stuff means.
I just like to play the football game.
Yeah, you like to play football games. You know, some folks like to play online. They might play Battlefield and whatnot. So I got into my phone and my Facebook and tried to figure out if I could find somebody who could explain this.
We needed an expert. And so you've got a lot of contacts in the, apparently in the gaming world, or at least in the tech world, and you've come across someone who's going to join us on the air now.
Yes, it was a bit of a game of telephone, if you will. But we are joined by Dom. Dom joins us here on KMJ. And can we just start, Dom, by saying one, thank you, and two, can you give us an idea of what it is you do, and so that you can help us understand this?
Yep, thanks for having me on. Much appreciated. I am a product manager for a digital software company. We work in a small and mid-sized business space. But being a large organization, we work in a lot of the same kind of DevOps and product fulfillment spaces as many other companies such as EA.
Okay, so our understanding is that hackers got in and took source code for FIFA 21. Let's just start with what that means.
Sure. So every application that you use, whether it's an app on your phone, a game on your Xbox or PlayStation, or something on the web even, all starts with source code. And this is what the programmers write to tell the computer what to actually do. So drawing all of the graphics, all of the gameplay logic, all of that stuff starts out, to the computer at least, as source code that's then built for the different hardware platforms that's going to run the game.
Okay, and so somebody getting in is basically taking that product, and now it's out on the World Wide Web. How does that mess up something like FIFA 21?
Sure. So on the surface, it doesn't do anything to the product that you have, right? If you've bought the game, you have the game, and they can't really change that. But what having the source code does is it tells you how the programmer achieved what they're trying to achieve in that game. So things like how the game talks to other users of that game, and this is kind of where I think a lot of the concern will probably be, if they have access to the code in the game that controls matchmaking, who you match with, if it controls how other players see your character or the things that your character can do, they can then make the game do things that it wasn't intended to do.
Hey, Dom, so the reports came out when this news broke about three and a half hours ago. The initial reports were saying that the hackers who stole the source code from EA Sports, at least we're learning about it today, the hackers are trying to actively sell the source code info on the dark web or the black market or whatever. How does that happen? I hadn't heard anything like that before.
Sure. So this is a pretty common thing these days. Without getting too far into the weeds, what I see this as, and again, you know, this is something that's just now happening, and I'm speculating myself here with this, but you know, a lot of organizations like this, they just kind of reach out and get into whatever they can get into. And so, you know, the hackers in this case are probably not interested in FIFA. They're not really interested in EA. It likely wasn't something that was targeted directly at them. But, you know, the second you put anything online, there are always hundreds of other machines on the internet trying to scan your machine and see what they can get into. They're looking for low-hanging fruit. And if they find something that seems maybe a little bit juicier than something else, then somebody's going to spend time and they're going to try to get into it. So most likely this wasn't something that was targeted at them. But when the hackers realize they have something of potential value, a lot of them are trying to make a buck. right? You have good hackers out there that are trying to find security vulnerabilities and let people know, hey, something's not right here, you should fix it. And there are others that are looking to make a dollar. And it sounds like, in this case, this is probably one of those cases where they've found this, and they say, okay, well, this is valuable, but I'm not going to sit here and write game cheats for it or figure out, you know, something else to do with it. Let me try to sell it. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're bargain hunters.
Interesting. You know, obviously we shouldn't be surprised by anything that's happening these days with hackers, but I think Skip and I were both taken aback that a company as tech savvy as EA Sports that does their business online would be a victim to this kind of thing. Were you a little bit surprised at all or no?
No, not at all. Everybody that's on the internet is a target, and every security professional looks at their system not as something that you're trying to ever prevent an unauthorized access to, okay? You cannot 100% do that. It's just not possible. So every security team in the world is going to have an approach of, okay, if it gets hacked, if something goes wrong, what do we do in this case? So you'll notice in this hack, there was a compromise that compromised source code, but it didn't compromise customer data. And so to me, as an outsider looking in, and again, you know, sort of speculating on this, any decently run security outfit, if something like this does happen, has things separated so that the important stuff, the customer data, things that are personally identifiable to you, that stuff is separate. If you get access to the source code or whatever the developers have access to, you know, in our organization, devs have access to source code, but they don't have access to anything in production. So when they're working on the product, it's completely sandboxed. And that's kind of the approach that I see potentially happening here, is that the security professionals in charge of this, while, yes, there was an issue that occurred, and we don't know how it happened, right? This is probably not some server in a back closet and someone dialing up on a modem like they show in the movies from the 90s, right? These are massive networks in the cloud, and there are tons of ways that people can get in. So, I'm not surprised that it happened, but I see it as, you know, something that does happen from time to time, and how the company recovers from it, and we'll see this when they release a postmortem on it, tells you a lot about how the company values their own security and the security of their customers.
So what I'm hearing from you is that while it's a hack, it could have been way worse, and two, there's actually some attention being paid, especially to the privacy of user data, which so many of us are worried about when you're participating in online gaming or just existence.
Yeah, I mean, look, we can still find more details, right? But in any decently put together infrastructure like this, you do have those checks and balances. You have those separations. You have intrusion detection systems that alert you when things go sideways. It'll be really interesting to see how this all played out, because bear in mind, some of the biggest hacks that we've heard about are not really even hacks at all in the context that you think of them, right? When we think of them, you know, again, we think of somebody in a basement that's dialed into a terminal in under the cover of darkness, right? And a lot of times that's not the case. A lot of times it's a specifically crafted email, right? Or something that looks legitimate that they trick a user into opening. It can be an old employee account that someone forgot to shut down. It can be, a disgruntled employee that shared their credentials or did something that was against the security protocol of their company. So, I mean, there's a lot of ways that these can happen other than a technical issue where someone, you know, finds a vulnerability and exploits it to gain access.
Yeah, watch out for the phishing. We're talking with Dom. He's an expert in the territory of these hacks and in situations like this. We're talking about EA Sports, which was apparently hacked today or yesterday or in the recent, not too distant past. And we're just learning about it today that source code is, for those that don't know, is a version of computer software, which is usually much easier to read and understand than the in version in a finished product. If you can't tell that I'm reading, I am reading this because I had no idea. All I know is it was a movie with Jake Gyllenhaal a few years ago. So What do you recommend for business owners out there who are, you know, not giant corporations like the Pipeline or the meat company or EA Sports? What about you know, mom and pop companies here in the Valley that need to protect themselves from stuff like this, because it's happening every darn day, it seems.
Sure. There's a lot of common sense things that you can do that are going to put you ahead of most people. Number one, if you get an email from somebody you don't know, don't open it. Biggest thing. That's the biggest way that a lot of these hacks that I've heard about in the recent past have occurred, is because someone clicked a link they shouldn't have, right? And these can be things that are, you know, a shoddily put together web page that they're trying to get you to that pretends to be your bank, or it can look exactly like your bank. They can make a website out there with a URL that looks like it might be something like you've got an Amazon gift card, and you can go there and it'll ask you for all your personal information. Just don't click links if you don't know what they are. The other thing you can do is always have an antivirus on your computer, and especially if you are using your computer to store customer information, things like invoicing and stuff like that, don't plug in USB devices that you don't know where they came from. If you back up your data from that machine all the time, great. By all means, use your USB hard drive that you picked up down at the store. Don't plug in random things that you get from a trade show or anywhere else, because you have no idea what the chain of custody for that thing is. And that is exactly how other hacks in the past have been carried out. So just, be very cautious about the things that you put onto your machine. That includes things like email.
I just want to take a step back there. That is such a mind-blowing thing, because how many people have gotten a flash drive that's been branded because it was a promo item?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Swag.
Okay, so one last question before we let you go, Dom. Not only is it email, but I've also gotten random text messages with links. You're saying the same thing, right? Don't hit those links. Don't take the thing for the Amazon gift card. Don't hit the thing to update your EDD benefits, even if it comes through text.
Absolutely. If it does not come from somewhere that you recognized, right? If you signed up for something and you know that number is legitimate, that's great. If you get a text out of the blue from some number that doesn't quite look right, and it says, hey, we're your bank, there's a problem with your card, click here. Don't click there. If there's a problem with your bank, go to your bank's website. Log on there and check, right? All of these things that tell you, hey, just click here to go to whatever this thing is that you think is really important, go to their actual website. It's the same thing with phone calls, right? If you get a phone call and it doesn't quite sound legitimate, call the actual number that you know for that service.
Hey, Dom, last question before we let you go, and we really appreciate all your valuable time today. Good stuff. Seriously, it's very, very interesting and important. If I wanted to, if I were to hire you, could you break into Skip's email? Could you hack Skip?
Well, we just kind of gave away a lot of the tips for how you might go about doing that.
Well, let's say she wasn't paying attention.
It might take a little while.
He sounds confident. All right. Well, then on that note, I appreciate that your loyalty is to me first, because I knew the guy who put me in touch with you. So thank you for that, Dom. Nice try, Blake.
Absolutely.
We appreciate you.
But I'm paying cash money for this guy for good info.
And he's got a whole stash of promo USBs.
Yeah, I do, actually. I haven't touched them at all.
Yeah, thank you, Dom, for joining us today. And if you want to check out the latest news on that ransomware attack and the subsequent $11 million ransom from JBS and the story about EAS Sports, you will find that all up on our social media, Facebook, Twitter, and more. This is The Afternoon Drive.
Hey, Skip.
Yeah.
Got a question for you.
Yes. It is close to 5 o'clock, if that's what you were asking.
Correct. The ice cubes are in the glass in just a little while. Question for you. So it's been estimated, new report coming out today from the California Department of Finance, okay, that the recall election of Governor Gavin Newsom is going to cost taxpayers of California an estimated $215 million. Here is my question to you, yeah, Skip Echeverria. Worth it?
Okay. I'm going to answer it with the outcome I think that's going to happen.
It's a yes or no question. Worth
it? It's not worth it because he's not going to get recalled. And he's not going to get recalled because while there were a lot of people upset who had very valid arguments, there is not a candidate that has risen to the top of the pile, if you will, that's going to motivate people enough to get out. And I just don't think that they're going to have the turnout.
Doug Osi's not doing it for you?
Is that how you say his name?
Yes.
Well,
Kevin Falconer.
I can tell you this. I'm just not buying.
John Cox.
Here's two things. One, I'm just not buying Caitlyn Jenner. Sorry. No. I'm going to sit this one out on even just being, hey, it's a lady, ladies for ladies. Okay. And I'm all about a woman being in charge. Not going to happen. The thing I could get behind for Cox is that he keeps losing and keeps coming back.
He's a fighter.
He's a fighter.
He's got a pile of money to burn through, apparently.
He's a fighter. And so that's where I've got. I don't know enough about Doug Osi, but I mean, and that right there.
Nice guy.
Yeah. I mean, we're what?
There's no name recognition.
None. I mean, I know there was a lot of talk about Major Williams, but that one seemed to kind of.
He's kind of fizzled,
die
it seems.
On the vine. Yeah.
Rick Grinnell was a possibility.
There's like 50 or 60, and there's still 50 days left for people to throw their name in the ring. And we have not had somebody, an Arnold, if you will, and there's nobody that's on the Democratic side or even remotely Democratic that's going to run against him.
Right. Well, so, there were rumors that Antonio Villaraigosa was considering it.
Okay.
And he would have a shot, but I don't think so. He's old news now. Maybe 10 years ago he would have a shot, but not anymore.
So how about you? Do you think it's worth it?
Absolutely.
So you're willing to throw your
money?
Sure,
we're throwing
that
money at stupid crap all the time in this state. high-speed rail, saving a sardine in the Delta.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Why not? It's the California way these days. Let's just throw our tax dollars at things that do not work.
Okay, but my question is, so it's worth it even if he doesn't get recalled just to send a message?
Yeah, sure. It's a $215 million message. It's costing you and I, what's that equal out to? There's 40 million people in the state. What's that, like $3.50 each? I'll throw three and a half dollars at a recall of Governor Newsom.
Well, I might just so that all the folks that put in all the effort into getting the signatures feel like they got a participation trophy. Just kidding.